Tom, so many people were discussing Rachel Gentile on social media. I mean, mm-hmm. It was the commentary about her, and unfortunately she can't talk right now publicly because she is still under subpoena. But Rod Vereen is her attorney, and we wanted to reach out to him because there's still so many questions about, you know, her testimony, the prosecution, how she is doing. He joins us right now. Rod, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing? Good morning, Rod.
Let's just get right to it. One of the things that so many people are talking about, with a lot of criticism of her testimony the first day, was she prepared by the prosecution? Was she walked through this process at all?
Well, to answer the question, the short answer is absolutely not. And, sometimes I think it was by design. When I sit back and reflect on what took place in this case, you know, and watching Mr. De La Rionda, who is the prosecutor in the case, how he's presenting his case, I think what he wanted from Rachel actually is exactly what he got. He just wanted unrehearsed, raw testimony. People don't know why it is that I got involved in this case. About a week prior to Rachel's testimony, I was contacted by a member of the same church that she attends, who is actually the former law enforcement officer who had grew up with me, who contacted me and said, Rod, listen, you know, we think that Rachel needs someone to assist her because she has not been, you know, vetted, if you will, by the prosecution concerning, you know, how to testify in the court, her demeanor, right, and things of that nature. And so when I got in contact with Rachel, she and I sat down and, you know, I spoke with her, albeit briefly, about the testimony she had planned on giving, because, one, I didn't have a chance to speak with the prosecution, didn't know what the strategy was going to be, didn't know the total fact. I mean, I knew very little about the Trayvon Martin prosecution as far as the number of witnesses they were going to call, the strategy they were going to use,
right,
what they wanted to, you know, espouse in front of a jury. So one of the things I did not do was, you know, sit down with her and go with verbatim what she was going to testify to, because Rachel had given a number of statements, okay, and I was not privy to those statements, so I didn't want to go and, you know, screw things up for the prosecution. So what I did...
Well, how do you think it worked out?
Well, you know, listen, every trial, no matter, you know, what the charges are, you're going to have good witnesses, you're going to have bad witnesses. One of the things that I thought was good about Rachel's testimony, it was one that it was actually unrehearsed. Her emotions got to her the first day, and I think that's because of the fact that Rachel, you got to remember now, she's a 19-year-old young lady who has had no experience whatsoever with the criminal justice system, all right? And she didn't understand that there's a different dynamic in the courtroom concerning how you're going to be treated by one side versus the other. All right, whatever side calls you is going to be the side that's really going to be the nicest to you. They're going to collar you when you get on the stand. They're going to ask you questions that you're familiar with what the answers are going to be. She did not understand that there was going to be this good cop, bad cop type of,
right,
you know, personalities in that courtroom. She didn't, and when she came in, you know, contact with Don West, even at the deposition, she didn't understand that he was going to be jumping all over her, because her question to me after, you know, when we were sitting down speaking, she says, well, my first contact with Don West, he was very hostile towards me. And, you know, these are the words she used. These are my words. And then she inquired, she said, well, doesn't he want to know the truth? And I said, you know, unfortunately, sometimes when you get to these cases, they don't want to know the truth. They want to know what they need to know and what they want you to, what they can manipulate you to say that's going to help them in their case. And
How is she doing? How is she mentally? Where is she? Because so many people, and unfortunately, way too many African Americans were just trashing this young girl. Is she off of social media? Are people texting her? How is she doing today?
Well, she is doing just fine, and I say that with reservation. This was traumatic for her, okay? I was listening to the radio yesterday, and there was some, you know, they're having a town hall meeting somewhere here in Miami, and I think they had a psychiatrist, psychologist saying, oh, yeah, well, she is clearly obvious that she suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder. I differ with that. I beg to differ. What she went through was traumatic, yes. You know, but she is dealing with it as best she can. She lost a good friend. And let me just say this. This is what a lot of people don't know. The relationship she had with Trayvon Martin, she was a close personal friend. They had gone to elementary school together. Separated over the years with regard to having seen each other, and then they connected again a couple of years ago. But when I asked her, because I thought she was the girlfriend initially, that's how it was brought to me, that she was
right.
The girlfriend. She says, no, I was not the girlfriend of Trayvon Martin. She said Trayvon Martin had another young lady he was dating. But Trayvon was one of the few guys, okay, and this is what, I mean, this tore my heart apart. She said he was one of the few guys that never made fun of me about the way I dressed, about the way I talked, about my hair, about my complexion, you know, about my weight. And she said, and so we communicated because, you know, Rachel was pretty much an introvert, all right? And so for her to be a 19-year-old young lady, you know, and who speaks three different languages, and I hate to hear people talking about, oh, she's ignorant. She speaks three different languages, English being her third language, all right? You know, her education, yeah, is lacking in some.
Rob, what are the other two languages?
She speaks Creole, she speaks Spanish.
Her dad was Dominican and her mom was Haitian.
Her father's from the Dominican Republic. Her mother's Haitian, and she speaks English.
Okay,
she doesn't, you know, read cursive well. But then again, the officer that was testifying the other day on the stand couldn't read cursive well either. She was sitting there, you know, struggling over the letter that Zimmerman wrote. All right, they don't teach that in school today. All right, and so when I hear these folks jumping all over her and castigating her in the court of public opinion, it makes me say to myself, now see, this is why. People do not want to come out and be witnesses in cases when they see things happen because they're going to be ridiculed and, you know, and just castigated in the court of public opinion.
And she liked Trayvon because he didn't tease her.
He was nice to her.
Very nice to her. Trayvon was a handsome little boy, all right? He was a cute kid, you know? And so here's a young lady who's infatuated with the fact that somebody like Trayvon Martin befriended her, and then she was just struck at the fact that the friendship, you know, was the way it was, and they text each other all the time. They called each other all the time, you know, and this is the way she communicated with them, you know. And so she was familiar with his vernacular, okay? And so when I heard that, you know, the testimony of Zimmerman on the audio tape and the videotape about the words that were used, one of the things I spoke about last night on Piers Morgan was the fact that that is not the vernacular of Trayvon Martin or any kid. I'm going to, you know, the word homie? Come on, man, we used that 10 years ago. Now, they had been something I would have used, okay, but Trayvon Martin? No, that's not something he used. And if you listen, okay, because as a defense attorney and as a prosecutor, when you're listening to the words that Zimmerman was saying on that audio tape and on the videotape, he was trying to say every, you know, what we call word, okay, hit word that would be something that you would say, okay, this now authorizes him to use deadly force. He says, Trayvon Martin says to him, you're going to die today. No. You don't go from running from somebody to why are you following me until, oh, I'm going to kill you. You're going to die today. Because he's trying to say all these key words to say this is why I did it. Because he put this fear in my mind that he was going to kill me. Oh, you're going to die today. Oh, then he put his hands and his nose, I mean, hands and over my mouth and over my nose. Again, because if he cuts off my breath, I can die. Then it changes to he was pounding my head, okay, on the pavement. No concussions, no hematomas. All right? I mean, there's too much lacking.
You know what? They need you on the prosecution.
You know what? I wish I could go to Jacksonville today and they swear me in right now. Because I would tell Mr. De La Riondo, just let me do the closing argument. Okay? Because what's lacking in this case is that they don't have anyone to sit here and decipher that audio tape for them, that videotape for them, and show them, you know, where the problem is with regard to Zimmerman's statement. But here's one of the main things I want people to realize.
Real quick, Rod, real quick.
Go ahead.
Real quick, go ahead.
Zimmerman said that he mounted Trayvon on his back and that he stretched his hands out while he still had his gun in his hand when the other gentleman says, hey, I'm about to call the police and call 911. He says, no, don't do that. Help me with this guy. If that's the case, and we knew that Trayvon Martin was dead, why is it that when they found the body, both of his arms were tucked up under him? Because Zimmerman is lying.
Rob Vereen, attorney for Rachel Gentile. We certainly appreciate it. Please give our best to her.
Yes, and Rachel, her family, yes, too. Tell Rachel Gentile and her family we love her.
I definitely will. Thank you all.
Thanks, Rod.
Great job.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's why I couldn't watch yesterday. I
no. But you
that
need,
right there messed me up.
Yeah, but
like
you need to watch it.
I do. I do. I do. Yeah. I do. I do. 27 past the hour. Oh, 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 and oh, oh.